Mornings and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A federal judge has ruled all of those government workers let go last week were probably fired illegally.
U.S. District Judge William Alsup in San Francisco has ordered the Office of Personnel Management to inform certain federal agencies that it had no authority to order the firings of probationary employees. CBS legal contributor Thane Rosenbaum adds,
the Trump administration unsuccessfully argued that each agency made their own firing decisions. They were not directed by the Office of Personnel Management.
A hearing is set for March 13th. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
Ukraine's president will probably meet with Donald Trump at the White House today to discuss how to end the war in Russia.
I think I have a very good relationship with President Zelensky, and now we're, you know, we're doing the deal, and we're going to be in there. We're going to be actually in there, digging our hearts out.
Despite a public war of words, the two men are expected to sign a deal on Ukraine's minerals. There's a big question mark this morning over how acting great Gene Hackman, his wife, and their dog died at their home in Santa Fe, New Mexico. CBS's Anna Schechter.
There was nothing amiss in the house. It didn't appear that there had been any theft or anything like that. And they didn't see any weapons or wounds from a gunshot.
Investigators say the body had already begun to decompose. There were no signs of a gas leak. Sheriff's officials say scattered prescription pills were found around Hackman's wife, Betsy Arakawa. More states reporting measles cases after a deadly outbreak spreading in Texas. Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo is worried.
We do have the rodeo coming up, and we have spring break coming up, and we know people are going to be traveling to Harris County, and we don't want to be the next epicenter of measles.
An unvaccinated child died in Texas. More than 120 infections reported there. Now New Jersey, Kentucky, and Washington all confirm cases. Hundreds protested at Iowa's Capitol building after lawmakers passed a bill that would make the state the first to remove gender identity protections from Iowa's civil rights code.
I'm just devastated by what they're trying to do. I feel it's mean. I feel it's hateful. I feel it's childish and ignorant.
Governor Kim Reynolds is expected to sign the bill. A new CBS News YouGov poll finds Americans are feeling a sharp pinch in their pocketbooks, and they're not hopeful. CBS's Anthony Salvanto.
You see more people right now saying they think things will get worse than get better. That's particularly the case among people who say they're having more trouble making ends meet.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
On the next Midday Magazine, we wrap up the week in part one with our friends from the ADRC, and in part two, Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools Superintendent Ron Rasmussen. It's 4 to 5 on 97.5 FM WFHR.
Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
Have you heard Rojo and Van Orton deny that Republicans are trying to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security? I break down the numbers and call them liar, liar, pants on fire, starting at 2.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be really windy with falling temperatures and a few sprinkles or flurries likely today. We'll see wind gusts from 40 to 45 through the afternoon. Temperatures will climb into the upper 40s by lunchtime, but quickly drop into the mid-30s by late afternoon. Tomorrow will be sunny, not windy, but cooler. Our high tomorrow, 28. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manor is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree
with
whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is out, but I, Greg Bach, am your guest host for the day. And we have political editor Dan Schaefer recombobulating the news, and this shouldn't be a thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Oh, yeah. A beautiful Friday on the way around the state of Wisconsin. Hope you've got plans to enjoy it. Welcome in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. One of the good news items that I get a chance to give you this morning is the weather forecast. Sunshine on the way for today. Our temperatures, well, they're expected to warm up into the low 50s. There is a chance that we could see some showers developing later this afternoon, but probably not measurable. Winds, they are out of the southwest today. They could get a little gusty, 15 to 25, maybe even instances of 45 mile per hour gusts. But like I said, focus on the sunshine and 52 degrees. Everything changes in 24 hours tomorrow. Sunshine, but our high temperatures will only be around 30 degrees and the winds will still be noticeable. Sunday, sunshine, 39. Monday, we're back to 44, but we've also got more precipitation in the forecast coming our way next week. Stumacher, ag meteorologist, on the way with those weather details.
With low supply and high prices, all because of the bird flu, eggs are a hot topic in the food industry. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo. And you might think how it affects you when you go to the grocery store, but how about when you go to a restaurant? Susan Quam, the executive vice president of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, is giving us an update on how the egg shortages are affecting the restaurant industry, as well as some of the consumer trends that the association is noticing.
Well, of course, you know, we're just as consumers are seeing prices skyrocket in the grocery store and maybe even some lack of availability. Obviously, our operators are running into the same thing. The supply chain for eggs for the restaurant industry is a little different than that for the grocery stores just because they're packaged different. So not every egg facility packages for restaurants. So it's a limited number of facilities that can do that. If they're experiencing a specific shortage or depending on where, you know, some of the bird flu flock situations have occurred, that is definitely making this a regional issue for a lot of operators. Now, obviously, across the supply chain, we've seen a minimum of a 45 to 50% increase in prices just in the last 12 months. Now, we know this bird flu issues was percolating much before that. So overall, in the last couple of years, egg prices on the restaurant side have gone up almost 200%. So, you know, we're seeing some pretty severe price hikes from, you know, people paying like $50 a case and now having to pay $175 to $200 a case for eggs. So if you're in the bakery or you're in the breakfast business, that's a struggle.
Yeah, and you were mentioning the bakery and breakfast industry there. Are they being forced to maybe try to find substitutions for eggs in their products? Or how are they dealing with it? Are they raising prices? How are they trying to combat the supply and price issue?
Well, I think you're seeing a combination of different factors. Obviously, if you're a breakfast location, and eggs is a big part of that, and your profit margins are slim as it is, you have to kind of make some adjustments. You're going to have to pass some of that cost onto the customer. They're just the models that restaurants operate under in that situation just can't absorb that huge of an increase, even for something that was considered, you know, traditionally to be a low cost protein source. So we're seeing definitely price increases. I think the most famous one you hear about is the Waffle House increase, where they're charging a surcharge of 50 cents per egg onto a bill, rather than overall trying to raise prices on everything. They're going that route. Others have just had to suck it up and change their menu prices and increase their prices. On the bakery side, they might be trying to use something that's might be an egg substitute, but depending on the type of products, that just doesn't work because, you know, the liquefied eggs or the other type of products that aren't, you know, if you're a from scratch bakery, that just doesn't necessarily work for you, the product quality that you're looking for.
Yeah, what would they be using as a substitute if they were to try to use a substitute?
Oh, if for bakeries, you know, it depends. They could try to use some of these liquid egg substitutes that are out on the market that are a combination of vegetable oils and colorants and some other flavorings. And then, of course, there's always the good old home method that a lot of people use, which is like applesauce or, you know, some other kinds of liquids. Aquafaba is another common one that's used in the vegan bakery business. And that's the liquid that comes in your can of garbanzo beans. And so that's being all used already in the vegan marketplace. So those are kind of things at the bakery side. There is really no substitute on the, if you're a breakfast place, except for maybe the liquefied scrambled eggs. But a lot of folks pride themselves on from scratch cooking, and they aren't going to be utilizing those kinds of products. They're going to suck it up and have the real thing.
Are these restaurants at any point kind of trying to steer away customers from eating eggs to try to like conserve what they do have because that supply is just so thin they have to pay so much?
Well, that's a great question. I think, you know, obviously they may try to run specials on other kinds of products like waffles or you know, other types of breakfast dishes that are less egg centric and maybe encourage folks to go that direction. But, you know, we're in the hospitality business and our job is to supply what the consumer wants, right? And we want to make sure we give them, if they come in and they want, you know, a 3-egg omelet, we're going to give it to them. So it just has to determine what's that value proposition for the customer, as well as what's in it for the restaurant. So I think those are more what operators are trying to do. I know they're hoping to ride out the storm and not have to be too aggressive on price increases, but you know, from what we're all hearing, that this is, you know, we're easily 6 to 9 months out from any kind of real increase in the national flock. So, you know, this is going to be a longer term solution.
And here in Wisconsin, these bakeries and restaurants, where are they getting their eggs from? Are they getting them from Wisconsin, or are they now being forced to bring them from further out due to bird flu kind of starting to move through the flocks here, the egg producing mm-hmm. flocks here.
So I would say the majority of restaurants in Wisconsin are getting their eggs through their broad line suppliers. That would be, you see on the road, Sysco and Gordon Food Service and Performance Food Group. Those folks are where the majority of folks are getting their product. And I know that they're having to, obviously, as you just mentioned, source from farther away in the supply chain, possibly, depending on how the flocks are doing here in Wisconsin. And also, as I said before, eggs for food service are packaged differently. They're not packaged by the dozen in an individual carton. They're packaged by big flats with, you know, like 48 eggs on a flat in a case, you know, multiple flats in a case. So those kinds of situations, you know, also limits where the product's coming from. So they'll be bringing them in from all over the Midwest. I don't think they're bringing them much farther than that, but, you know, it definitely, there's more truck miles on those eggs coming into the state.
Well, and have you heard of any like severe case scenarios where restaurants are needing to go to a grocery store to try to buy some if for some reason they run out because of the supply issue?
Oh, sure. That happens all the time with, you know, with almost any product, especially if you're, you know, these days, especially post COVID, you know, deliveries from your suppliers is not happening on a daily basis. They come once a week, and you do run short on eggs or any other product, they're going to have to try to go find that product, you know, locally at a grocery store. So that definitely happens all the time on those perishable types of foods.
And to go along with some products having a price hike, beef is also seeing a bit of an increase. How is that mixed with the eggs affecting some of the restaurants?
Well, overall, and beef prices have gone up about 13% year over year. And of course, we saw similar and much higher prices than that immediately after the post-pandemic in the area building restaurants back up. Overall, wholesale prices for restaurants basically are running double whatever the price increases you've seen in the grocery store. Because we have a much narrower line of products that are used in restaurants. And like in the instance of beef, you're primarily talking about ground beef and middle cuts, and some from the chuck, but mostly ground beef and middle meats, where at the grocery store you see everything. So the amount of product that we use, that jacks the price up for all of those kinds of products. So the inflation, you know, in the last 3 to 4 years on all of those wholesale products, beef, pork, poultry, cheese, butter, eggs, especially, of course, have been pretty exponential for the restaurant operators. We're seeing on average a 30% increase in food prices just in the last wholesale food prices, you know, in the last 24 months. So pretty significant.
And with that, I'm assuming restaurants are also being forced to hike their prices as well.
You bet. Menu prices here in the Midwest have gone up on average 5% each year for the last 3 years. They just have had no choice between, as I said, the food costs going up 30%, labor input and wages paid going up over 30%. You throw in huge increases in credit card processing fees and that, and rent and insurance and everything else that every other consumer out there has seen price increases in. You're seeing that, you know, is going to affect. They have no choice but to raise menu prices.
Quam says that although the restaurant industry is currently facing some tough times and will have some hurdles to go over in the future, it is still strong and continuing to grow. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the director and driving force behind the film Green and Gold, Anders Lindwall. Comedian James Connolly and Max Inc. co-host Terry Barr joins us for Bar Band Friday Night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Angela, about a special webinar they've got coming up. So stand by for that conversation. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, joining us for another conversation about weather. I got a nice picture this morning from one of our talk texters of little daffodils that have decided it's time to see if they can poke their way through a little bit of the soil surface. I think, you know, with the way the weather's been going, Stu, seeing a lot of that kind of thing, especially if they're kind of already in protected areas, it also begs the question, what my maple syrup folks are thinking about. I think I heard that a couple of them were thinking about starting to tap trees maybe this weekend. But boy, temperature is really way heavy on that. If you're involved in tapping for maple syrup, or maybe birch, I don't know. Maple syrup is where I live. Why don't you let me know what's going on? Just like the daffodil pictures, you can send me pictures or just a text or call. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. What do you think? George, did you tap trees when you were kids too?
Yes, and it was just brought up the other day when somebody looked in the backyard. Are you going to tap those trees this year? Oh.
Yeah, I was driving across to really from Minnesota to Green Bay over the past couple of days, and I see there's some folks that have some fantastic lines already strung, ready to go, compression pumps ready to suck that sap. At home, it was still the traditional bag and bucket way, but like I said, we hit 50s today. We start getting mixed signals out there for these plants, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the trees think it might be time to get going, then we're going to get a cool day, and they're going to slow down, but I really look at March and early in the month, that first week or better is going to be a little on the normal or above normal side. It's probably getting to be time. We do have a little precipitation this morning, very far northeast Wisconsin up into the UP, the northern tip of the Door Peninsula, seeing a little rain right now. There's low pressure building in from the northwest. It's coming along with very, very mild air. Temps this morning far above normal, will only continue to climb today, but precipitation becomes more of an issue. Some rain showers, maybe a little snow in the north here a bit later in the day. None of it going to amount to a great deal. Trace amounts of rain, you know, maybe a little snow that sticks to the ground. That's about the most of it. Southern parts of Wisconsin, all right, the southern three quarters, Eau Claire, Wausau, Shawnee, or Green Bay, under a wind advisory today. In the far west, it begins at 9 a.m., then 10 a.m. a little further east, not until noon in the far east, and lasts till about 6 this evening. Those very strong winds become northwest today. There will be wind gusts at 40 and 45 miles per hour. Very, very brisk. Light objects going to fly around. You know how that is. And it adds to the chill with the day that, even though the thermometer says it's going to be mild, will feel quite chilly. That precipitation all ends, and we really cool off sharply for Saturday. Turn it around very quickly. Sunday and Monday, more mild air returning. But a little later Monday toward Tuesday, some rain once again may pop up around Wisconsin, sounding a bit more like spring with that rain back in the forecast. I'll have forecast details right after this.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All right, buddy, like you said, the thermometer may betray us when it comes to the real feel on our Friday, huh?
Yeah, the wind is a big deal, Pam. The wind advisory in effect from 9 early this morning to noon later on in eastern Wisconsin until 6 tonight. Our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. More clouds and that chance of a little rain, maybe light snow in the north. In the south, low 50s. In the far north, maybe just into the low 40s. And the southwest winds become northwest, 10 to 20, gusting to 40 and 45 today. Overnight, some clouds, but it does cool off into the teens, very low teens in the north, upper teens south. North winds still 10 to 20, gusting to 40. and then not too bad. Colder Saturday, sunny skies, maybe only in the mid-20s in the north or near 30 south, but the northwest wind 5 to 15, and some sunshine Sunday, and we start pushing back up into the 30s, low 30s north, upper 30s south, and southwest winds develop at 5 in the 40s on Monday, Pam, but a little rain snow mix could edge in again.
All right, so Monday in the 40s, are we going to see a declining temperature next week, or what do you think?
No, I think those upper 30s, close to 40 for quite a few days, so it sounds a bit more comfortable.
Beautiful. Stumacher, ag meteorologist with your Compeer Financial ag weather update on a Friday. Go to Compeer.com for more information on what they offer you.
This
locally grown radio, WFHR.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. A federal judge rules the Trump administration's mass firing of probationary government workers probably wasn't legal. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The court ruled that the Office of Personnel Management has no authority to implement these layoffs, especially based on some pretense of poor performance.
President Trump and Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky meet at the White House today, where they're expected to sign a minerals deal in exchange for more U.S. military support.
It's really very good for Ukraine and very good for us. American taxpayers will now effectively be reimbursed.
Autopsies and toxicology reports expected to be telling after remains of actor Gene Hackman, his wife, and their dog were found at their home in Santa Fe, New Mexico. CBS's Anna Schechter.
Pretty grim. The affidavit noted that the bodies were already starting to decompose.
Fire officials say there were no signs of a gas leak at the home. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you weren't already aware, there will be a Shrek 5, and it will have a fresh-faced new star in the cast, according to Deadline.com. Zendaya will join the cast as Shrek's daughter. If you're scoring at home, that means she will play the offspring of Mike Myers and Cameron Diaz. Eddie Murphy will also be back as Donkey. Shrek 5 will be the first film in the franchise to hit theaters since 2010's Shrek Forever. The fifth installment is expected to grace our screens Christmas of 2026. The death of Gene Hackman will most likely be talked about for weeks to come in the entertainment business. Hackman and his wife Betsy were found dead in their New Mexico home Wednesday. Hackman quietly retired from acting in 2004 after appearing in the film Welcome to Mooseport. In a 2009 interview with Empire magazine regarding his retirement, Hackman revealed that the straw that broke the camel's back was his doctor telling him his heart could no longer handle excessive stress. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin players headed to the NFL. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. 300 of the best college football players here to interview and work out for NFL teams. One of them, Badgers safety Hunter Wohler, who saw his team fall to 5-7 and miss playing in a bowl game for the first time in 22 years. I asked Wohler, who grew up in Muskego, Wisconsin, how concerned is he about the Badgers football program?
It's going in the right direction. I mean, obviously, the last 2 years haven't exactly been what I envisioned, what Coach Fickell has envisioned, but like, Coach Fick's a great coach. I have 100% faith that he's gonna get that program in the right place.
NBA, Bucks with a win over the Denver Nuggets, 121-112. Milwaukee getting help from guys off the bench in the fourth quarter like Kyle Kuzma, Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah, they made a great run for us. That cushion, that momentum, that was huge for us. You know, and again, I think as great as they've been, I think they're going to be so much better a few weeks, a month down the line, which is scary to think.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a TGIF edition of the show. Our old friend Peter Ray Fine of EPOM's World is in with a wacky week in review, and Mr. Zomers rolls out a board game of the week. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be really windy with falling temperatures and a few sprinkles or flurries likely today. We'll see wind gusts from 40 to 45 through the afternoon. Temperatures will climb into the upper 40s by lunchtime, but quickly drop into the mid-30s by late afternoon. Tomorrow will be sunny, not windy, but cooler. Our high tomorrow, 28. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You know, as a lot of Wisconsin farms start getting ready for spring planting a couple months down the road, decisions have to be made. Making decisions on a farm is not necessarily the easiest, especially if multiple generations are involved in the operation. You say that everybody's got their own individual responsibilities, but when it comes to making long-term decisions about the farm, that can get a little rough. One of our guests this morning is focused in on succession planning. Nobody should take this lightly, but farms especially. It's not something that happens overnight. In fact, it may take years before a solid succession plan's in place. Might as well start the process. One of our guests will help you do just that. Welcome back, everybody, on a Friday morning. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, glad you're along with us. Even better that we can look forward to a Friday that's going to encourage a lot of missing in action, if you know what I mean. I know I'm trying to figure out a different way to get out of the office and enjoy the sunshine and warmer weather, temperatures into the 50s. But do remember, we are going to have a pretty strong breeze out there today. So it is the 28th day of February. Tomorrow, already March 1st. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day in 1935, nylon is invented. A fellow named Wallace Carruthers produced the polymer at the DuPont Experimental Station in Wilmington, Delaware. Nylon came into our lives on this day, 1935. On this day, 2013, Pope Benedict XVI resigns. Did you know that he is the first leader of the Catholic Church that resigned since 1415, so about 600 years ago? Why did he resign? His health. Pope Benedict XVI resigned on this day, 2013. On this day in 1940, the very first televised basketball game happened. University of Pittsburgh beat Fordham University, and it was televised on the first time for the first time in 1940. And happy birthday today to actress Bernadette Peters. She is 77 years young, and now you know. Unfortunately, we don't know if the federal government is going to restore monies to the U.S. Department of Agriculture and many of the programs that it executes, including grant programs. The Dairy Business Innovation Alliance is one of those that distributes those grants. And now farmers that had counted on that money for investing and improving their facilities, their operations, are kind of left hanging. Stephanie Hoff has more.
The Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association is sounding the alarm. It sent a letter to the U.S. Department of Agriculture asking Secretary Brooke Rollins to immediately release funding for the Dairy Business Innovation Initiatives. The program froze this week, and the stoppage of nearly $29 million stands to impact about 420 dairy businesses nationwide. Hidden Springs Creamery in Westby is one of them. On the farm, Travis Forgs manages 80 acres and milks 300 sheep for their farmstead cheese. Before the federal government froze the money, the Dairy Business Innovation Alliance was supposed to be a tool for Travis to supplement his own investments in growing the farm and creamery.
The Dairy Business Innovation Alliance and the four different groups that are out there, DBIAs, you know, working across the country, there's been a tremendous amount of positive support that we heard about. And it's not just, you know, for cheesemakers, it's for anyone that's looking to enhance dairy business.
On the DBIA grant, the dairy business grant that you were approved for, I'll say, how much was it and what were you going to use it for?
This particular grant, it was a little bit over $90,000. And it was approved to put in a really large for us. Now, of course, everything is perspective, right? Because this is a small dairy, but a big walk-in freezer. So that freezer is for our Driftless products, which is a soft cheese that we're making that's been growing pretty substantially. We're actually headed into Whole Foods sometime this month with some of these flavors. So we can actually freeze this cheese, then, you know, have it available for Whole Foods and others in a bigger quantity. The program itself, when you say, like, I was approved, we were approved, and the way these programs work, they pay for certain things, they don't pay for other things, like the building, which is on us. But we also have to pay for it all up front before you get reimbursed. So they're pouring it as we speak. Like, the process of this going on has me now responsible for the $90,000 that I was in the business plan planning on being paid back for. So I have, you know, on top of the spend of everything else we're doing to make this work, we are now on the right now, which I just have a very hard time believing the federal government is going to default on its own agreements long term. But it is a shocking situation when out of the blue in one day we get a phone call. Well, I'm getting poured. Well, the concrete is pouring for projects that we've been approved on, that they're not going to pay, that they're freezing the funds.
What do you do? Do you call the bank and ask for patience, or what do you do?
Right. There's no forgiveness. I mean, like, well, first off, I think everyone's in their own situations. I was on the call yesterday. First and foremost, you know, the Dairy Business Innovation Alliance and the people working there are distraught with all these programs and all these farmers that are left high and dry. So they had phone calls yesterday. I was on one of those, a lot of tears going from not just farmers, but staff, and fear of what's going to happen to the businesses that are now on the hook. For us, you know, we called, you know, I'm in close connection with my bank. So we will, you know, work through what we need to work through, but it really can be crippling for a business. You know, I think it's really important as people hear about these kind of programs. If we don't believe that these programs are a good way to spend money in the future, which I'm going to argue it's a really good way to generate community and income, because, you know, we've been able to hire more people. We're bringing on another farmer to ship us milk. All those things are based on the programs that we built and we're spending on. But if we decide we don't want to do that, that's one thing. When you make promises to people, and I don't mean like a handshake, I mean a contract, and then you just say no, you're really, really messing with a whole lot of good people that were doing this with, believing that the government wouldn't default on them. I have faith that common sense is going to come through here instead of just craziness. At some point, we're going to have some common sense that if you want to make changes to programs, you surely can moving forward, but you don't just cut people off at the knees. So I have some faith there. But then there's the bottom line of how you're going to pay for this stuff.
Travis Forgs, along with us from Hidden Springs Creamery in Westby. He's one of 420 dairy businesses across the nation dealing with a funding freeze from the Dairy Business Innovation Initiatives. Right now, he's on the hook for $90,000, but he's hopeful the federal government won't default on the contract. He is unsure how long it will take. The Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association is asking for the funds to be released immediately. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Thanks, Stephanie. And if you are one of the agribusinesses impacted by these frozen funds, please reach out to us. Share your story. We'd love to know. You can email us, pam@midwestfarmreport.com. Or, of course, our talk text line is there right now, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Yesterday in Chicago, barrel cheese gained a penny at 180 and a half. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged at 187. Double A butter, that gained a penny, 234 and a half per pound. Now this morning, we've got December new crop corn up a penny, 462 and a half. November beans are up 2 1/4 right now, 1044. July wheat, almost 4 cents higher at 580 and a half. The March class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up a nickel, 1905 a hundredweight. April, down a dime right now, 1850 a hundredweight. Livestock across the state of Wisconsin this week for those beef steers, $1.92 to $2.08 a pound for the live whole animal. The Holstein steers, $1.62 to $1.83 a pound, again, for the whole animal. Cows, $1.15 to $1.31 a pound for the whole animal. As far as the baby calves are concerned, so the beef cross baby calves under 110 pounds, selling for $830 to $985 per animal. Folks, these are literally baby calves under 110 pounds. That's how valuable they are in the beef industry these days. Market lambs, as we get ready for the Easter holiday on the horizon, $180. Light lambs, $200 in the market this week. That's courtesy of our friends at the Equity Cooperative Livestock Auction Market, getting ready for their annual district meetings. If you've sold livestock, make sure that you are checking out when the Equity District meetings are going to be happening in your area. Well, there's a meeting coming up that a lot of farms should tap into. Succession planning on farms is not easy, and it does not happen overnight. But we're going to be discussing starting the process, at least. That's just around the corner for you on a Friday morning.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Three elected officials in the Pennsylvania borough of Millburn are being arraigned on mail and voter fraud charges relating to a 2021 attempt to manipulate a town mayoral election. The Delaware County Daily Times reports that two borough council members allegedly recruited willing voters outside the Philadelphia suburb to support a third council member's write-in campaign for mayor. The town of 1,200 residents has only 549 registered voters and one of the highest concentrations of citizens of South Asian descent in the country. The three allegedly solicited personal information from the outside voters, then logged in and changed their state voter registration addresses on the state voter information portal to a Millburn address. The Daily Times quoted the indictment as alleging, in total, defendants Muhammad Nural Hassan, Muhammad Mansour Ali, and Muhammad Rafkol Islam falsely registered nearly three dozen non-Millburn residents as Millburn voters and cast ballots for those non-Millburn voters in the 2021 general election for mayor of Millburn, unquote. Hassan still lost the election 165 to 138. Defendant Islam was arraigned February 25th, and Ali and Hassan face a judge February 27th. Actual voter fraud remains exceedingly rare nationwide and even more rarely affects the outcome of elections despite partisan disinformation. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
I'm back from Arizona, but no spring training games. Just 4 days in a locked hotel conference room. I might have to vent a little Friday.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Agriculture, that's not necessarily the case. And the good part about this one is it is a virtual webinar that allows you to bring along your questions. Joining us today is Megan Roberts. She is the principal quantitative and economic analyst with Compure Financial, who's going to be hosting this event. All right, Megan, let's talk a little bit about the webinar that's coming up. Succession planning is nothing new for a lot of folks in our audience. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about some of the highlights we can expect.
Yeah, we're really excited to have Brooke Didier-Starks, an estate planning attorney with firsthand farm transition experience and knowledge, that's going to be joining us as our featured speaker for our succession planning webinar on Wednesday, March 12th at 9 a.m. We'll also have it recorded for those that can't join live. And it's such an important topic. And it's really something that anyone at any age within agriculture needs to be thinking about. Whether you're planning for your own retirement or you're planning to get into a farm, this is a hot topic and so important.
Yeah. You know, I was mentioning at the outset why agriculture is so unique. Can you help them better understand why I said that, Megan? We're a complicated bunch, especially when you're talking about a generational pass and a generational pass that made it go to more than one member of the family.
Absolutely. So there are so many aspects of agriculture that make the transition and estate planning process very complicated. We have assets that, thankfully or unthankfully, depending on where you are in the process, are worth a lot of money. And that can make the process very challenging from a financial, tax, and legal aspect. We also have assets that mean more to us than just their financial value. They have family meaning. They are part of our heritage. And so that complex nature of the process really creates some extra challenges, but it also creates opportunities for communication within families. And it is something that families can get done and be successful at.
If you're just joining us, this is Megan Roberts, Principal Quantitative and Economic Analyst with Compure Financial. We're talking about a free virtual webinar on March 12th, starting at 9 a.m. And they've got some great guest speakers that are going to join in, because as you might expect, this is not a one-person-fits-all presentation either, is it, Megan?
No, every farm is unique. There are some common themes, though, and that's really what, in a one-hour webinar, we're going to be able to cover, are those common themes, things that really anybody within a farm family or a small business, so maybe you're not on a farm, you're a small business, food and agricultural owner, anyone can think about. So we're going to start at a really high level, but then we'll also have Q&A so people can bring their questions, and we'll try to answer them in an educational manner and to really dive into maybe a little bit further details when we get into the Q&A portion.
Yeah, the good thing about these webinars, these virtual presentations, is that Compure Financial always archives that information, and it will be available on their website, which is the same place you can currently register for the upcoming webinar. Again, that's compure.com. Under their events tab, look for the succession planning webinar on March 12th, beginning at 9 a.m. You know, we mentioned about the complications that agriculture faces with succession planning. Megan, let's talk a little bit about why you need to start now and not think you can do this in a fast manner. I don't know about you, but when it came to succession planning for our little bitty piece of paradise at PMD Farms, it's not a one and done. You better start this process well in advance.
It is a process that for most farms takes quite a while of time. And it's a process that even after you quote unquote finish, you're going to probably have to go back and refresh as dynamics change, as farm business operations change, et cetera. I believe, since I already had a chat with our guest speaker, estate planning attorney Brooke Didier-Starks, that she tells families it could take as much as 10 years' time. Certainly, you wouldn't be actively engaged in the process for that full 10 years, but I do always talk to families about planning for more time to get this done rather than less, because it isn't typically not a quick process.
Yeah, you mentioned our guest speaker, the person that will be giving us some pointers on estate planning, Brooke Starks. Tell me a little bit about her and what you've learned about her and her presentation style, Megan, because this can get a little dry at times.
It can. It is legal, financial, tax. We're going to focus in on some of the communication aspects and just getting an understanding of what the process is. And that's something that Brooke really excels at. She is candid, she's down to earth, and she's going to try as best as she can in a virtual webinar to keep things lively during the hour that we're spending together.
I don't want to throw you off here, Megan, but is there a workbook or a worksheet that will be included in on the virtual presentation March 12th or even the online version?
Yeah, when you register, you are going to get a link to our webinar. During the live session, you'll have the ability to download the resources. And if you can't join us live, you can click on that link from your registration and you'll get into the recording. And it will also have a checklist of resources that Brooke's going to provide for all of our attendees.
Outstanding. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, folks, any of these virtual events that Compeer has been holding this winter, all available in their archives, and every one of them brings some critical information to your farm operation for 2025. Like we said, this one, succession planning, on March 12th, beginning at 9 a.m. Register today for details at compeer.com, with the events tab being what you want to look for. Their special guest speaker is Brooke Starks, talking about succession planning. And joining me today is Megan Roberts. She is, of course, the principal quantitative and economic analyst with Compeer Financial. All the information you're looking for available today at Compeer.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Authentic Texas-style barbecue is on the menu today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Unless your farm caters to agro-tourists, you should be careful about hosting visitors who are not used to being around livestock or machinery. It poses a safety risk to them and a liability issue for you if your insurance doesn't cover persons outside of the farming operation. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com.
I joke and say that, you know, in Texas, everybody believes their barbecue is the best, because they wouldn't be Texan if they didn't believe that.
That's Brian Bracewell, the third generation in his family to own and operate Southside Market and Barbecue. The business originated in 1882 in Elgin and has expanded to three additional locations in Central Texas. Bracewell returned to the business after attending Texas A&M University, though he goes back often.
I've been involved in Camp Brisket and Barbecue Summer Camp at Texas A&M University since they began. And I bring those things back home and we apply them here at Southside, and there's no doubt in my mind that we're making better, more consistent, authentic Central Texas barbecue today than ever before.
Bracewell says there's a science to good barbecue.
Barbecue takes time. Barbecue takes effort. And so for us, that means being authentic with the cuts of meat we use, with the brisket, with the beef, sausage, using the post oak wood for the fires. It takes patience. It takes a desire to get it right. You know, you can't rush that. You just got to let it happen.
My thanks to Texas A&M for assisting with this story. There's a link to more on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
This weekend, we ask the question, where is the GOP? And we ask it to former RNC chairman Michael Steele.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Badgers.
Beats Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Fade.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Trigvi Olsen joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is so well put. And that matters.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Trump and Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky are planning to meet at the White House this morning to try to resolve their differences over the war. Mr. Trump pushing an agreement on Ukraine's precious minerals as reimbursement for U.S. military aid.
We want to be secured. We want to get that money back. We're helping the country through a very, very big problem, a problem like very few people have had.
As for Zelensky, CBS's MTS Tyab from Kyiv.
He most certainly will not be getting security guarantees, but what he is likely hoping for is to turn the page with President Trump after an extremely tense few weeks.
Government workers in a new state of confusion over a federal judge in Seattle who's ruled last week's mass firings were probably illegal. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
This ruling only affects federal probationary employees who are defined as those with less than a year at their jobs.